Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right. We're in the March. Spring is in the air.
That's right.
With March magic.
Tricking me yesterday. I know this show is pre-recorded. It was like 55.
Yeah.
I was like, I can run outside. I could run outside now, but I was like, I could run outside and really feel the effect. I felt the vitamin D in the sun.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And everything, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of folks was taking advantage of the weather.
Yeah.
And, you know, we fortunately didn't get the storm that they forecasted. Some folks did, but hey, we had our fair share of storms that other folks didn't get.
That's right.
So we all right with that.
That's
but,
right.
We're in the March, so we know what happens in March. And the main thing that happened is we got basketball.
That's right, we got basketball. Before we get to basketball, though, I want to see the Black Panther again.
Oh, again?
Yeah, but I took my young brothers, my young brothers group. Okay. About 15 of us, and our two parents came and supported. And some of the parents dropped the kids off, and, you know, they helped sponsor them, the popcorn and stuff. The kids love the movie.
They was like, did they love it, man?
Man, they was acting a fool after the movie. So
they're going to go to Wanda.
Wakanda. Yep, in the classroom tomorrow. Got the dudes on there doing all that. I'm laughing with them. I'm like, oh, go ahead. Have some fun.
A superhero they can really they look up to.
You know? And they was talking about how beautiful the women were in there and everything. And one little boy said this. He said, Mr. Williams, he said, I noticed T'Challa, the king, he had power because the women of the influence around him. And he said when they was getting ready to go to the, I think to the waterfall, when he was, you know, had to claim your right to passage as king, they were on a boat, and it was like when a boat was being steered by the women. It was like they had the tribals wear on, and they had hit their staffs on the deck of the boat, and an air bubble went under the ocean. And it went under the ocean, and it struck where the waterfall gets activated. And the little boy noticed that. He's like,
wow, that was quite observant.
Yeah, he said, hey, he said, I see when the women were dancing, they was in rhythm to create that air bubble to bring the waterfall up.
I missed that.
Man, I was like, you're right. I said, I remember that. And then one of the kids was like, he said, man, I ain't been to the movies. I have not been to the movies in so long, Mr. Williams. He said, he was excited. I was just looking at him like, and then he said, man, I usually just Netflix and chill. I started cracking up.
Right.
So I just Netflix and chill. You say, I ain't been to the movies in like 2-3 years.
Well, it's something that you need, you know, every once in a while, treat yourself. I mean, the cinematic, you know,
for
view of the screen, the sound.
Yeah, the popcorn.
It's cool, man.
I always do it. I go by myself sometimes. Yeah. My wife don't go, but I like just getting into those shows. I'm going to see it a third time.
You going for the number?
For the third.
For three?
3D.
You going to see it in 3D?
Yeah, take off my playoff breaks. You know, we've been practicing late. Now, speaking of basketball, it's the girls' tournament jumped off first.
Yep, Monday.
Yep, we closed.
Started Monday.
Yep, we closed our season out as OK Black Champions.
Yes, sir.
2012, yes, sir. First time ever nobody in our conference has done it.
Undefeated,
12-0. So we're following up the boys in football and boys in basketball. So they're setting great examples. Coach Guy's athletic director, Coach Shane. And, hey, it's just, I guess it's, what I'm figuring out is, when they were sneak downtown, 80 Southern kids got some in the water.
Okay.
You could just.
It's happening, man.
Part of it's like, coaching. 5% coaching is 10% 5% coaching, and I think about 40% the parent trusting you.
Okay,
and then the kids' ability and intelligence.
Okay,
I'm gonna give it all to the parents.
Yeah, they need some
parents and their environment make these kids who they are.
Trust me, other schools were athletes. They don't think they're not looking. They see what's going on.
Yeah,
and. Some of them wish they could be a part of it.
Yep. Okay. I don't want to say nothing to cook myself because usually I say something or I post them on social media. People will be mad at me, but it's
just
a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, man. These kids work hard, man. You can ask them anything and they'll do it. And it's just proud group of girls that we got that they fun being around, man. Our bench mob is ridiculous.
Okay.
Bench mob is crazy.
That's awesome, man.
I mean, really a really real bench mob that they excited about their teammates being successful when they not in the game.
That's how you got to have it, man. They got to support them.
Yep. So we played Northview. They were a great opponent. We played them in the summer league, fall league. They were fun to play against. They came over to our gym for our home game.
You played tough in that first half.
And they played a great game.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't pull away till late.
Yep. They didn't come to lose, I'll tell you that.
Nope. They had a game plan, and they kept it close.
They executed. And I appreciate teams coming out. Not backing down.
Right.
Showing their mental
rolling
toughness
over.
And respecting what their coach put in them. I always look for games like that. That's fun and it's challenging and it shows that on our end, our kids are intelligent, great basketball players
it
in the same capacity.
Rise their level of game to the for the challenge.
Yep, and it was not
awesome.
Yep, so it's not a fast breaking game. And then last night we played against Reese Puffer in Grand Haven, and that was fun also. And Reese Puffer gave us a nice little they were prepared too. They came out pretty good. 22-21. This girl's name's Lauren. She did a good job. But Coach Walker had a good game plan with the defense and offense that negated that, and it was the third time. That was the third time beating the team. That's hard.
Yeah, third time is hard to beat a good team because I think that's what happened to the East Kentwood girls.
That's right. Yeah, they
perennial number one team in the state of Michigan.
And, like, ranked in the nation. They ranked in the nation, something in the nation.
Losing the first round of
not
the
even,
regionals.
Not even make it to a district title.
Right. Excuse me, district, right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's rough.
That's a tough talk. That's a tough
I know they
fall,
got probably,
man.
Like, they probably got, like, four D1 prospects and probably, like, three Division II. So, that's.
Looking past your opponent.
Man.
That's what happened.
Early success is tough.
Yeah.
It's about humbling. But I can't speak. We still in the field, and Lord on our hands, it can push us through, and we one game at a time.
One game at a
time,
one
quarter,
man.
One possession.
Yes.
And these ladies, young ladies believe, and we're going to keep on pushing through. We got Grand Haven tomorrow. Good team, great
point Grand Haven.
Guard, great coach, you know. We beat them the first time we played.
She got three state championships in Grand Haven, man.
She's a smart coach, man. She knows how to game plan and control what she wants to control. And she's going to try to avenge the loss we gave them early in the season.
Oh, absolutely.
So I respect her and what she does out there. And hey, all the chips fall where they may. Let's keep on rolling this ship.
One more game, one more win, one at a time.
Yep, that's it. So I know the boys got they play Monday. They got
Northview.
Monday. They got Northview.
Yeah, they open up with Northview.
Yep. So Northview coming on, and Northview not no chumps. They play Union pretty tough.
Okay.
I think they beat Union. I don't know if they beat them, but
I seen that score. I think they did. I think they did. Now that I look back at that score, they did beat Union.
Yep, so they're not going to be a pushover.
Yeah, and this is like a play-in game too, right?
Yeah.
Why do the conference champions have to play these play-in games?
Both teams,
games,
our
man?
Girls and our boys,
yeah.
And they throwing us opponents that we've never seen.
Right. So is this a blind draw when they come up with these pairings, or somebody actually scribbling these names?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Try to have you overlook an opponent, and you think, and for the kids, because we know as coaches,
that
you can't overlook nobody.
Nope.
As coach, you
And every time you play, you stand that chance of losing. So we got to play one more extra game than everybody else for the most part.
That's right.
Because they're sitting waiting for the Wednesday matchups.
Yeah. I like to have a tune-up game anyway. Then that gave our fans an opportunity to see our young ladies off into the field.
Okay, because they played that game at Ribbon and Potter.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
So that was cool.
That started us off with the kickoff. So.
Yeah.
Like, here we go. This is what y'all going. If you don't see us no more, this is what you missing.
Your last home game.
Yeah, it's your last home game. So the seniors got an extra little treat. So that was fun.
It was great.
Cornette and Fairfield and Renata and Jada Kitchen. Those ladies got in. And Deja, they did a good job.
Yeah, Cornette girl. Yeah. So
that's playoff basketball. And it's going on everywhere. You got a lot of victories. A lot of losses are happening with the boys, with the girls. And boys start up next week.
Right. Yep. You got the Big Ten Conference Championship going on in the Big Apple, and that started last night. So this weekend it really heats up where all the top seeds play the state, Purdue, Ohio State, and the top four teams basically get a double bye because Michigan had to play the
Iowa.
Yeah, but see, Iowa played last night. They had to play Illinois last night. And then Penn State played another team. So there are some teams that has to play almost four games if they get to the championship, where others only have to play two.
Man, them legs going to be rested.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that one player that you're probably trying to develop, he might just be ready to snap on a great program.
Okay.
So you got to look out for that, too. That guy his name was hype and he didn't do nothing during the season. And I got four more games to get ready.
Shot, man. Yeah.
And then the big dance started if we make it.
Right.
So he got four extra games.
Yep.
And if it's a basketball player, you like four extra games is a great thing to have.
Yeah, have experience of playing at Madison Square Garden.
Yep, exactly. So we got that. I know LeBron's team still rolling. They talking about how they like playing with him. And they failed. They fought a little bit. I think they lost to the Spurs. Lost to a couple teams. Well, I would think they were supposed to lose to when you're dealing with a franchise and you're trying to develop your team.
They're just trying to get ready for the second season, man.
That's right. Win enough games to make it. You could be fourth and five. You could fight the 4-5 game.
Like LeBron said, I don't care if we the last seed. All we want to do is get into the tournament.
And I carry my babies. Right. I show them how to win the game.
So it's going to be fun down the stretch. It's going to be fun down the stretch, man.
Yes, it is, sir.
Yep.
So we got what we got today. I brought in some things today. The concept is called, because it's a financial planning show, it's called Starve and Stack Strategy Can Help You Hit Your Money Goals Faster.
Okay.
Sound like a hood saying that some of me and my friends say when we were growing up, I'm a starve and stack. So when I seen it, one of my starve and stack strategies is Acorn.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the change.
Yep. So I had like a certain denomination set up every week when I get a pay, but I also have my roundups times two.
Okay.
And I check them once a month. That's it. So I was just like, okay. Then I can see on my bank statements what's coming out, but I really don't. I'm not trying to look at that money. So that's part of being a concept of you're stacking, you're starving and stacking. But okay. The real intention of it is, and I have the article on it. The real intention of it, Tony, is this. And you've probably done this before in the past or anything. It says there's no doubt that having multiple income streams can go a long way towards helping you achieve your financial goals. And while there's really no bad way to make quick progress, there's one worker smart, not harder method that can really supercharge your efforts. And that's called the starve and stack method. When I thought about this, the first thing I thought about, and this is from my Muskegon community, wait till I roll out next summer in my new car or whatever, if I get my new paint on it, guys, a stack. Like, I'm stacking for the next summer.
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean you stacking for next summer? I got my tires. I got my car getting painted. And that's what guys should do so they can ride to the beach. They'll starve and stack. That was the neighborhood strategy. So I know some people probably laughing like, John, so you telling us the hood strategy, yeah? But this is an article that I have from one of my investors, Acorn, where it breaks down. It called it starve and stack.
Okay.
So what's that? It's the concept is basically starve and stack is a financial strategy. So it's a game plan you can choose when you have two incomes, okay? Like a combination of you and your spouse or partner salaries if you have a full-time salary plus side hustle income.
Yep.
But you live off only one. So look at the situation. You got you and your partner, you and your spouse, and you both have a living wage. You're making a living wage,
right,
or one of you on salary.
Okay.
And you look at the situation and say, well, based on our budget, your salary is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hold up, how can somebody's salary not be necessary? Well, you can live in a way where that can be a means where that can be all stacked.
That's right. That's building up that nest egg,
Nest egg. So that's part of that building that financial goal. But before you get scared off by the name, know that starve means you're just depriving yourself of some of the comforts a second income could afford, like more dinners out, expensive vacations, or new cars, in favor of hitting a big financial milestone sooner. And I know you always, you the milestone, man. You the insurance, the mutual funds, the investments, and you always try to tell your clients that you got to be able to hit these milestones. You got to retire one day. You want to pay some things off.
Yeah, man, and you want to be in these clubs, these elite clubs. I tell folks, you know, okay, once you've saved up enough money, say in your IRA,
yes,
and you've achieved $100,000 in there, now you become a part of an elite club, $100,000, and then it goes to the $200,000 and the $300,000, and that should be your goal, to get to that club status.
That's right.
With your investments.
With your investments. Okay? That's when money start working for you. That's when that word compound interest comes in. And then you're like, hold up, money, I'm sleeping, and money's making me
I'm making money. I'm making money.
That's that going for that passive income.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen months where my portfolio has grown 20 grand.
That's great. Man, that's amazing.
Okay. And it's also went the other way.
Yeah. I said we had a dip. We just had a dip recently.
I've seen it go the other way, right, too.
But it's good. You got to ride that out.
Oh, yeah. That's the part of the strategy, though, man. It's the time in the market, not the timing of the market. Of course, if everybody that invested in the market could say, okay, I'm gonna try to time this thing, and when I think the market gonna dip, I'm gonna pull out.
You can't
go
do
to
that.
The sideline.
You can't watch it
and
like
then,
that.
No, you can't. It's too unpredictable. And also, what a lot of the investment companies have done is because people were trying to do this. Anytime you move out of a fund, for any whatever reason it is, you can't come back into that fund for 30 days.
Oh, so you can't do the lady that's selling the tiles and the furniture. What's her name? Martha Stewart.
Right. You can't do that, man. You
can't do that.
Yeah, the insider trading or what have you. So, yeah, you can't come in as a 30-day moratorium. So once you get out of that fund, you got to be out for 30 days. Damn. And a lot can change in 30 days. So,
that's right. The volatility,
but
all that.
That was done to stem that timing of the market trading is what it was called.
Okay. So it says, look, so what I have is, it says that's where the stack part comes in. You're literally stacking your benefits over time thanks to the power of compounding. You just basically explained it.
Compounding, that's interest, that dividends, concept. And appreciation.
Pay you
your
back.
Assets.
Pay you back for saving. You get a cut of what you save. Yeah. You just keep on, and you keep on. You can invest that dividend, or you can put it, or you can
or
take
you
it out.
Or you get your check. You know, you look at it, say, 10 years ago, I had my, you know, this is only hypothetical.
Okay.
10 years ago, it was $100,000 in my portfolio. And now I'm at $160,000. So that means that you've had a pretty decent gain over that period of time. And a lot of that comes from, like you say, every year, every fund will pay you a dividend. The value will appreciate. That's a difference in an automobile. 90%, 99% of the automobiles that are manufactured depreciate in value. The only ones that appreciate are the ones that are historical, okay, that's been preserved.
Yep.
So anytime you spend your money on an automobile, in particular, you are purchasing a depreciating asset versus purchasing a house, which is a appreciating, because 9 times out of 10, it's going to increase in value the longer you keep your home, just because of the simple fact of inflation, home values rising. Okay, so that's the difference when you talk about investing your money in a car or a house. House is appreciating, car is depreciating.
You're right.
It's losing in value the more you use it.
They're going to make a different modification in a month.
So, yeah, you know, so ask yourself the question, how do I want to spend my money? We all need transportation, no doubt about it.
That's right.
But how much do you want to spend? How much do you want to allocate on a monthly basis,
man,
to go from point A to point B?
I like not having no bill. That's what I like. I like getting in my truck and being able to go A and B. And when I step out, it's paid for. And that's good for me.
Yeah.
That's a good reflection. And that money being saved somewhere else. And that's, I don't know how to call it. That's stress-free.
It is. You know? I had an elderly lady come to my office the other day, and she was complaining about the cost of her insurance, and unfortunate, she still had a car note.
Ah.
Okay? I mean, it's like in her late 70s. And so I sat her down, I did some math, and I said, where you live, there's all kinds of senior citizen resources, right?
Get around.
Right. How often do you do this? How often do you do that? A lot of churches, you know, have vans. Yeah, it's a little different than not being able to just jump in your car and go.
But she could drop it in a different aspect. Keep on going.
But but when you look at the amount that you're spending every month on a fixed income that you could actually use as discretionary income versus, you know, having to deal with the increases in the cost of insurance.
Share riding is here. Like Uber is here.
Yeah.
You get a Uber ride.
Uber.
Yeah, you could do that.
You know, and she looked at me and she said, you know what? That really makes sense.
Yeah, because I don't
use my car that often.
Yeah, and then you can lease it. Lease the car for a year.
She don't even need to lease it because she don't. Why even spend that money?
You're right.
She don't even. It's not like she's retired.
Yeah.
Living a senior citizen complex.
Where's she going to go? Bible study.
There
bingo.
You go. Yeah.
Probably go to the Michigan Muskegon Community Club to get in the water aquatics or senior activities.
Right.
You know, going to see your grandkids, hang around your family. So
nothing that requires her to actually own an automobile and pay all the fees and assessments that's associated with ownership of a car in the state of Michigan.
It's not even worth it.
No, that's $500 a month that she could save.
You're right.
So I hope she take my advice, sell the car, get hooked up with these senior resources, take you to your doctor's appointments, get you to church, get you to the mall. You know, now you even got the Walmart got a bus. You know, you jump on the bus, it'll take you out there and bring you back. Or you're just family members.
Yeah, or she get like you said, use the phone app and you get a Uber ride and you all right.
Yep. Well, again, family members, you know.
They teach you how to do it.
Saturday, take it to the hairdresser.
Yeah.
It's a lot, you know, that's something you got to think about. But, again, that's kind of along the lines of what we're saying is, you know.
Starve and stack.
Starve and stack, man.
You got to trick your mind. You have to trick your mind into the fact that, audience, that, oh, we making a come up. I'm about to go get this car. Like, one thing I see is, like, how social media, like, tries to program you, like, it's even get to the point that if I go to a website, I think I bought our manager like a Nike jogger suit. So then now my Facebook is like a brain. So like now my Facebook is sending me Nike apps with all the shoes.
They know where you been.
Yep. They following me. They following my progress. They know what I've been on my internet. So they tracking that.
They're like, you're tracking it. That's right.
Yep, they tracking it. Like, he been here. So let me go here. We here. Like, I buy clothes from Macy's from time to time because I like their suits.
Yeah,
so like,
get them clearance sales.
Yeah, man, please. Yeah, you get a $700 sales, man. You get a $700 Calvin Klein suit, you'll be $150 sometimes. Yep. And I like those brands. So it's like they pure wool. And when they $900, I'm not going to buy them.
Oh, heck no. I don't go nowhere I need a $900 suit.
So I'm like, if when I see it for $150,
that's
and I know my brand, that I can buy one off the rack. That fit me tailor style, I'm gonna do it.
Yep.
So it's just like, it's certain things you're like, yeah, I need that. Certain things I don't. But then I'm always in a starving stack mentality. And my wife, she always be like, man, that drive me crazy. You're like, we don't have nothing. I'm like, we do. We got the means. And your wants are made.
Right.
I mean,
we're taking care of the necessities of life.
Your needs are being met. Okay. Lights, food, clothing, shelter. That's being met.
Maslow's needs of hierarchy.
That's right. So when you start getting into the wants, what do you want?
Oh, you can eat up all your money going after these wants, man.
Man, going to McDonald's.
You know? Yeah, you can eat up all your little stack.
Yeah.
Your stack will be gone, man.
And then that's depressing, man. It's like debt is like depressing.
It is.
Man, I look at it like, and I always listen to like, you know, I just love listening to the biblical messages all the time. I always listen to it and always listen to them. And they always talk about sowing seeds, saving, giving.
Storehouse.
Sowing seeds, so saving, giving. And then, so you don't devour the 90%.
No.
You gotta figure out how to give so you can develop a mindset and you can be delivered from certain things. Mm-hmm. Debt deserves to be delivered from.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. But it made it so easy to acquire credit and to sustain debt in this country.
It's like, it's okay.
It's
like,
okay.
Look what you got. Look what you driving, though, man.
Yeah.
Like, what am I? You got that new, what you call it, because you got this. No, I don't. No, I don't. Stop calling me. Like, I think Ty was a good dealership. They sold me my truck years ago. And they ain't calling me. But I'm like, if I ever get something else again,
I'll call at you.
I'll call you. Y'all were the first people I called. Right. Y'all took care of me.
Yeah, but I'm not there yet.
My buddy Stan, you know, he worked for them. He was like, go through them. And he had what I wanted. Because he laughed at me for the price I wanted to pay for, and I ended up still paying the price. But he directed me. He said, man, we'll have what you want, man. I'm telling you, man. They'll do you right, Chauncey. So he was somebody that put me in the right direction. But in the same capacity, it's like, hey, I don't like shelling out money. I like to see my money work for me.
I like to see that statement, man.
Yeah, I like to see that. It's something about
it. But it is.
Two statements I like to see. I like to see my gifting. Okay. How I give to God's ministry, and my storehouse.
That's it.
Those are two seeds being planted, the gifting and storehouse. Gifting, storehouse. So if I'm gifting, I look at that. Wow, that's the most I gave in my life.
Okay.
I gifted.
Well, that means it's probably because you've made more than you've ever made in your life.
That's it.
Therefore, you can give more.
Then you can give more. So that's what I'm trying to send a message out to the audience. Like, starving and stacking is really to get you to change some habits that
we have. Fundamental money managing habits.
Yep.
I don't need to spend everything that I make.
You don't. You don't.
Okay.
So I got an example. So here's, it's a, how about an example? It says, let's say this couple, right? They're 27 years old. They're newlyweds. Each bring in $40,000 a year after taxes. Okay?
Okay. So
you got $40,000.
80 grand.
Yep, 80 grand.
Total income.
while they're young and don't have kids or a mortgage, they use the starve and stack method to build their nest egg. So now they're like, okay, well, just put the guy, he gonna say, baby, look, we about to live off just your income.
Right.
Okay? They follow a strict budget and follow solely the guy's income until they turn 30. So that's about 3 years, right?
3 years, okay.
While investing, his wife's $40,000 in a diversified portfolio, which earns an 8% annual return. 3 years later, they've banked $140,000.
Watch out.
Excluding inflation and taxes. This is something I've been trying to tell my wife, like, this is the game plan.
That's the game plan, baby.
You could get whatever house you want.
It takes time.
You're going to have the down payment. That's like, what you got? We got $140,000.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to buy it. We're going to buy the whole house outright.
You can. Get the right house.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Get the right house. Right, you can buy it all outright.
And don't get a house that's too big. You don't need to buy a big house.
Yeah. I was listening to, who's that, Copeland, Kenneth Copeland, him and his wife, and he had his son-in-law. And he said their first house was real, real small.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they paid it off, they ain't had nowhere to live. They gifted it to somebody else.
Okay.
They gave the house to somebody else. So blessing. Then he went home, right? And he was doing another podcast or something with Kenneth Copeland, the minister. And Kenneth Copeland talked to him. He said, yeah, he said, I gifted my house to somebody that didn't have one. And now I don't have one. So Kenneth Copeland looked at him and said, do you believe?
Okay.
So then he said, what you been gifting in the ministry? So he ended up telling him. So then he had to recenter himself,
because
his faith was wavering after he gifted that house. And he found himself getting a house for debt free. Because the first house, he got a mortgage on it. He asked, why did you mortgage that first house when you know you could have starved and stacked?
Right.
That strategy.
Yeah.
And saying, he's like,
it's for real. It real.
It's
it
for real.
It works, bro.
And it's like,
been there, done that.
This kingdom ministry, they're saying it like, you don't need to do that. You don't have to be the borrower.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go to them. You can create your own strategy when you had a surplus to say, I got the down payment.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Give me the house for this much, you know? Because that's a whole bunch of money up front. They're like, what you got up front right now? Oh, we'll cut the price down to this.
Oh,
there won't be no 30 years we pay this back?
Nope.
Oh, we'll knock off $60,000 off the house. So it's always that. So it's a mindset. But it even broke it down, said excluding tax and inflation, right? At which they will switch up a strategy in order to save for their priorities. Even if they never invest another cent, they'll have almost $2.4 million by the age of 67. If they leave $140,000 in the bank at 30.
37 years of growth.
It'd be $2.4 million.
Retire pretty good, can't you?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Assuming the annual return of the percent is 8%.
8%.
That's a huge payoff for a few years of scraping by.
Yep.
Not buying a new car?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, buying a used car.
Not going to every party.
Yeah.
You know, not trying to get everything done, the best hairstyles every second.
Yeah, everything come out, you know, the latest and the greatest, you got to purchase it.
Yep.
No, it's about being very mindful of how you spend your money.
Yep.
Very mindful.
So it says, now this is the next question is, it says, can individuals use this strategy too? Literally anyone with more than one income stream can put starve and stack into action. For example, you could be single and currently have both a full-time job and a freelance side hustle.
Uber driver.
Yep, that's what. Uber driver. I remember I had bubble gum machines. I had a whole bunch of them. Somebody gifted them to me. It was a pastor. He ended up leaving that. And I had like 30 machines. And I banked that money.
Collecting them pennies. Yes,
I had $10,000 when I really needed it one time.
Okay.
Off change. I was banking it. I was like, oh, that's all this change. I just...
at the bank counter.
And the bank was counting. But I was like, they're like, you want to see the thing? I said, I'm good. I'm like, that's just nothing. Because I was during the real estate era where everything was going good. I was getting the big checks. But then when they were saying sink, I was like, man, this money, I'm paying this money out. I need some money to do something. I looked, the bank said, you got $10,000 in this account.
Okay.
It's like, what? Like, I need that right now.
Right.
But that's just letting you know that you can build something with a game plan that you could change everything.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things that you can do as a side hustle.
Yep. And when you think about side hustles can pay your student loans off. Mm-hmm. You can invest in your midterm goals you have, like a house. If you want to get that car that's 3 or 4 years old, you can have that paid off. and you can walk into those situations because you're like, oh, that's $8,000. I got that.
That's the key, man.
Yeah.
That's
you won't be paying $16,000 for $18,000 car, $8,000 car because you don't have to pay no interest.
Return lease car, 3-year lease, most of them. They got the cap for mileage.
Yep.
Most of the maintenance is already been taken care of.
I used to buy those all the time.
That's the way to go. I mean, unless you just got hundreds and thousands of dollars.
You won't pay over $15,000, $14,000 for a car that's 3 years old.
Not brand new, practically. Yeah. Still under warranty, warranty. It won't have 100,000 miles.
And you ain't got to have all the bells and whistles when you're talking about something 3 years old. You got some basic LT
good transportation.
LT models when you're talking about Chevys. You're riding something, a car that can get you A to B and C, fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
Probably only have 40,000 miles on it, 36, and you're riding good.
36, 40 miles, and that's it. Good investment in a depreciating asset, remember.
That's right.
Depreciating asset versus a appreciating asset.
That's it. So what I have today, I have scripture. I got some scripture today. So that strategy audience today was called starve and stack. You know, you're going to starve it, but you're going to stack it. But it's really not saying you're starving. You got an extra income, but you're not really dipping into that cup. I remember you talked about that a couple several months ago, when you got money in each little cup.
Right.
And you like, this go here, this go here, this go here. I don't even know what's in this one.
Them buckets, man.
Yep, that's what you call it. Get buckets. I remember that, Tony, yes. So here's the scripture today. It says, out of the book, it says, trust God with the least and good for nothing. That's what we're trying to really get into. It says chapter 8 in Corinthians, verse 7. Since you excel in so many ways, and people do, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. Now, too often, stewardship of money, is a translation, is given a different status than other aspects of discipleship. Most believers would not want growth in faith, knowledge, or love to stop at a certain level. Yet, many decide a fixed percentage of their money to give and stay there for life. True discipleship includes growing in the maturity, use of all resources, so giving should expand as well. God can give you the desire and enable you to increase your capacity to give. Don't miss the opportunity for growth. That's what I look at. I always think about this, and as we're going to finish with this today, it started with an X on what I want in my life. Mm-hmm. That's what I look at. So I look at my environment and my surroundings and the people I'm around, and then I look at what I have to gift before it comes into me.
Okay.
I turn it into a seed before it gets to my hand. Anywhere I possibly can, I plan and prepare for it. Sometimes my wife be mad, but she don't have the spiritual nurture of myself.
Right.
So I'm in the hunt. I'm in the environment. Right. I'm around certain people. So I'm like, I'm looking at what they need. And I'm like, my needs are being met. Some of their bare essentials are not even being passed on. Right. So I'm like, God put me in certain environments so that if he's meeting my needs, I'm like, I got this seed right here because I got an axe I'm going to God on that I know I can't make happen.
Mm-mm.
So I got to sow into somebody else's life and make it the seed, the miracle that I got for them. The little small seed I have can be a miracle for somebody else. And that's what I get out that Corinthian scripture right there, Corinthians 8, verse 7, that God, we talked about our year-end statements when we give something. Like, wow, I gave the most ever to ministry.
Okay.
Like, yeah, that means you made more. That means your year is growing. You should appreciate that.
Yes.
So this, but I always look at the gifting. It's like, as my territory increases and my environment expands and my knowledge, I should be able to gift more.
That's right.
You know, I hear people giving planes when they ministry away, giving homes away. Like, mm-hmm. It's got to be gratifying from the Lord to be like, here you go, a house. You can have our house, our first house. Right. Here you go. Like, what do I need? Like what you do. I want you to be in this neighborhood. You the guy for the neighborhood.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And if it can happen for me, it can happen for somebody else. So that's what I believe. When I hear those stories, I think that can happen for me. Somebody say, hey, we want you to be in this environment. You the guy for it. Just having your face around here will change things.
But think about why are you there to receive those benefits or those blessings? It's because the way, the lifestyle you live, the people you associate with, the work that you do.
Seeds you sow.
Seeds you sow, the ministry work. That's how you get those kinds of blessings.
Yep, and we just got to keep on growing. Okay. So that's a message to all of us, audience. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.